Thank you, Coach Dean.
All right. Let's sing some praises unto the Lord. And we're going to start this morning in our red psalm book. In our red book of the Psalms for singing on page 146. Everybody got one? All right, page 146. Now this is a portion of Psalm 146. You know, a lot of times we think or struggle about what to sing to the Lord. Well, let me tell you that singing His Word back to Him is as good as it gets. Well, occasionally we do that. This we're going to sing to the tune of What a Friend We Have in Jesus. 146A. I might not have said that. 146A.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. Oh, my soul, Jehovah, praise. While I live, I'll praise Jehovah. Praise my God through all my days. Put no confidence in princes, nor for help on man depend. He shall die to dust returning, and his purposes shall end. Happy is the man that chooses Jacob's God to be his aid. He is blessed whose hope of blessing on the Lord his God is stayed. He has made the earth and heaven, seas and all that they contain. He will keep his truth forever, rights of those oppressed maintain. Food Jehovah gives the hungry, sight Jehovah gives the blind. Freedom gives he to the prisoner, cheer to those bowed down in mind. Well, Jehovah loves the righteous, to the stranger is a stay. Helps the fatherless and widow, but subverts the sinner's way. Yea, Jehovah reigns forever, through all ages he is king. Even he thy God, O Zion, Jehovah praises sing.
Amen. All right, now we're going to be in your green hymnals. On page 265 now, in your green hymnals, page 265. This is I Must Tell Jesus. Page 265 in the green hymnals.
You still have the thing set for last week. This is real stuffy in here. I just bumped it down.
Okay.
What was it?
265 in the green hymnals. Thank you. Now, as most of y'all know, if I start out and this is too high or too low, we just start over. So. We're all in this together. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus. And tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear one more. Let me locate it. Locate where it is here. It's going to be on page 69, still in your green handle. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Why? Well, because His blood was acceptable to God the Father to pay the sin debt that I owed but couldn't pay. Why? Because in his physical body where his blood was, and the blood is the life of the body, he knew no sin ever. And so he qualified to hang on that cross and shed his blood for you and for me. All right, nothing but the blood. Once again, we'll try it right there. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Verse 18, Revelation chapter 2. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself the prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I'll get up every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which he had already hold fast I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter, shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches.
All right. Once again, welcome to Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Pensacola. Well, you will hear and hear about the sovereignty of God in all things. Why? Because he's sovereign. And that's the truth. Sovereign. One over all. That's what that means. That's our God. All right. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 2, where Brother Gene read for us. We have been going through the seven churches that the Lord addressed through John, who was on the Isle of Patmos, through this vision and this dream. And we are down to Thyatira. And in verse 18 is where Brother Gene started reading. And if your Bible has red letters for the words of the Lord, these are red. These are Him. This is He. We have noticed through the identification in the first chapter of Revelation, all these attributes of His, all of these names of His, and He addresses each of these churches by one of those names, because that particular name of His addresses and gives them confidence in Him for their problems. He knows their problems. He knows all about them, as He does us. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write these things, saith the Son of God. All right, well, that's number one. Who is He? It's the Son of God. It really is Jesus Christ, who is seated at this moment at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for you and for me. This is Him. This is He. Who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire. We saw before that He walks among the candlesticks. He walks among the churches. He knows you. He knows me. He knows each member of this church who is fitly framed together spiritually by God. He knows all of us. He sees all things. Eyes like unto a flame of fire. And His feet are like fine brass. He's stable, isn't He? His footing is stable, isn't it? His footing is solid. His footing is right and established in righteousness. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Then He says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. This church was following the Lord. They were faithful to the truth, but they had allowed some who were tempted and who had gone over into belief that wasn't of God. This fornication is spiritual adultery. It's not being faithful to God in His truth. That's what's represented here. That's what I want us to see here this morning. I had been given names, the identification of names, or rather the definition of the names of these churches. Thyatira, I'm told, and it's taught among many people that it was called a different name before it was called Thyatira, and that it had connections back to the Tower of Babel and man's control. Well, I can't find that in the Bible. I'm not saying that that's not true, but I don't think they got it from here. Be that as it may, Thyatira, basically the word means a perfume, or that which would cover up or change the appearance of something. All right? Thyatira. So the believers here were becoming more involved in these acts of love and faith, which He commends them for, but not all of them were holding firm unto the gospel or the truth. That's very important. Very important for us. We seem to think, as the times are changing, that the truth changes, that the rules of life change. But that's just not true. Yes, men are a lot smarter from what we see in history as far as technology goes. But men tend to think that they're smarter than God. And that God's rules no longer apply because those people weren't very smart back there that this was written to. And that's simply not the case. God never changes, and His truth never changes. As He saves us, what He does is He shows us ourselves, and He shows us our situation, our circumstance, our predicament, because we are sinners, and He shows us that we're sinners. But then He shows us His Son and the sacrificial death that His Son took on for us. And as He says He did Jezebel, He gave her space to repent, but she repented not. When God changes us, and that's what He does, He quickens us, the Bible says, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Well, we're alive, so what does that mean? Well, that means we were spiritually separated from God. That's what death is. It's a separation. You're going to live forever. God made you that way. But where will you spend eternity? He changes us, and He causes us to see that He is our hope, an eternal hope. And when we trust in Him, He puts us on this road toward Him. Our daily life, He puts us on a path toward Him. How does He do that? Well, He changes the desires of our hearts. He changes what's important to us. The Bible says He draws us unto Him. Jesus said, "No man cometh to the Father but by me. And my Father which sent me draweth him," He said. Well, that's what He does. And after He saves us, He continually draws us closer to Him. How does He do it? He gives us an affinity for Him. He gives us a love for Him. He puts within us a desire to be like Him. Because that's His promise. We know one day we will be like Him. When we see Him, how are we going to know it's Him? Because we're going to be like Him. We're going to be changed to be like Him. What a Savior. He provides all that we need, ever need. Yes, the times are changing, but God's Word has never changed, and He doesn't change. Why would He need to change? Because He's perfect. He does not. So He warns them, the church at Thyatira, that these false teachings are evil. That they are taking these things and basically saying, okay, we'll tolerate that. That's not so bad. That's not too bad. And then we will keep these people here with us that believe that way. But God is telling them that that is wrong, to tolerate these false beliefs in their doctrine, in the way they believe, in the way they live to God. When we give little thought to sin and or rebellion to God's Word, it's a very dangerous thing. Very dangerous. We are tempted to think that the times are changing and that these things are okay if we just tolerate them, don't stand up against them, or don't proclaim the truth that God uses and stands up against these things. That's simply not the truth. The enemy of God is our enemy. The enemy of our soul, he has a way of seducing us, if you will, into believing that some sin and evil is okay. And little by little, that's how he causes us to fall. That's how he causes us to backslide, if you will, from the solid beliefs that God put on our hearts when he saved us. That he is God. There is none other but him in control. Only him. idol worship has been a thing for as long as we have history for. And there are all kind of idols. We build up different idols in our lives. These things take away from our love, our energy, our desire of God and being like Him. Then you may perceive that as an idol. If you put it before God, whatever it is, ask Eve about the enemy being seductive. I think you get a chance to one day. She knows a little bit about it, don't she? Absolutely. All right. Turn with me now to the book of Romans in chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. See what Paul said about this. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Certainly not. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What does that mean, dead from sin? Well, we said that death is a separation, right? So why am I still tempted to sin, and why do I still sin? We have been freed from sin. What does that mean? Well, that means we are not subject to the penalty for sin. We've been freed from the penalty of sin. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid the price for it. We talked about it last week. God rolled back the stone from the sepulcher. He sent the angel to do it. Representative of the prison warden sending the jailer to unlock the door and let the prisoner out. Why? Because the time had passed that prisoner owed his debt, if you would, to society. He paid the entire price, you see. He paid the price. We are freed from the penalty of sin. Yet we still have this old nature within us. Know ye not, verse 3, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? As we're separated from sin every day, we're dying to ourselves and our fleshly desires and wants and loves of the things of the world. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Once again, we're going to know Him when we see Him, because we're going to be like Him. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is what? Freed from sin. Freed from sin. So you see, we, in our human natures, are dying to sin or separating from sin every day as we're being drawn closer to the Lord. Now, if we be dead with Christ, verse 8, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing. That's a big word. And we talk about, do you know the Lord? We talk about when you're saved, He gives, it's a saving knowledge, a powerful knowledge. Not just something that you learn, but something that you experience. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Why not? Because He paid the entire price. He doesn't need to die again. He paid for all of our sins. Death hath no more dominion over Him. And He is my God. I am in His hand. Death hath no more dominion over me. Why? Because God looks at me through Jesus Christ. And that perfect shed blood covers me. As they painted the blood on the doorpost, when the firstborn was slaughtered in Egypt, the sting of death passes over us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God There's that daily walk. There's that letting go of the things of the world that distract us from the Lord. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, because that's what we are. He quickened our mortal bodies, the Bible tells us. Made us alive. We're connected with Him now. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Well, I didn't keep the commandments perfectly. I've sinned. So why does sin not have dominion over me? For I am not under the law. Not that I don't desire to keep the law and have the responsibility to keep the law, but I and you are under grace. The unmerited favor of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for you and for me. That's what I'm under. Under that blood, see. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Again he says, God forbid. No way. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? That's what he was talking to the church at Thyatira about. They were tolerating belief of other things that were contrary to the Lord's teachings. They were saying in their mind and hearts, that's not so bad. Times are changing. We can let that go on. That's okay. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey. Whether you obey sin unto death, or you obey obedience, or of obedience unto righteousness. These things do matter, don't they? The little things in our lives, they do matter. But God be thanked that ye were, past tense, the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart. There's that quickening. There's that new heart. There's a removal of that stony heart that separated us from life. Remember, we talked about that last week. The stone that held Jesus in the tomb. It separated the living from the dead. But the stone was rolled back. Who commanded the stone to be rolled back? God did. The stony heart within you has been rolled back. Who commanded it? God did. You now have a soft heart toward Him. You have obeyed from the heart that former doctrine which was delivered unto you. Let me tell you, that former doctrine has a gold string running through it, and it's the sovereignty of God. Being then made free from sin, verse 18, you became the servants of righteousness. What a Savior. I tell you, we have been made free from sin. Yet we find ourselves subjecting ourselves to it still. We need to run to the rock of our salvation, don't we? We do. We need to express to Him, Lord, I need you. I need you. I stand on you and your truth. I stand on the fact that you are my Savior and that you are seated at the right hand of the throne of God making intercession for me. He who has eyes of fire and feet as of brass. He sees all. He knows all. And He's got it all planned for you in your life. And He is standing on solid, holy ground. You can trust in Him. You can rely on Him. So many things of the world are unreliable. Certainly, the man-made doctrines and beliefs are unreliable to base your life on. Oh, but the truth of Jesus Christ. The truth that God loved you before the foundation of the world. He's that great a God. The truth that He knows all things. That's hard to imagine. Even the little things that I said earlier matter in our lives. The little tiny forks in the road that we come to that sometimes we don't give us any thought. We just go one way or the other. Influenced by whatever, something other than the Lord, something other than His Word that we're basing our beliefs on, or Him and His beliefs. They do matter. He is trustworthy. His Word is trustworthy. We can rely on Him and know that we're safe, no matter what the circumstances. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What a Savior. All right. Let us learn from the position and the situation of the church at Thyatira that it's important to adhere to the truth of God's Word. It's important that we not support or tolerate these lifestyles that the world want to tell us is normal. The Bible tells us what's normal for us. The Bible tells us what's right. Oh, that we would run to it and run to Him. May God bless the reading of His Word this day.